in a world where you can be anything, be yourself. Do you know, we see these kind of positive quotes, don't we, all over the place right now, and feel-good quotes. And do you know, I have to say, I'm a teacher, and each morning as my children come into the classroom, I have their kind of early morning work up on the boards and a little prayer, and I do have a little feel-good kind of positive quote with an image. Fridays are always a little bit different and tend to look a little bit more like this. Yeah, we made it. It's Friday. You've got to celebrate, haven't you? But you know, it's interesting just to take a moment to think about what some of these positive quotes mean. And I know when I'm choosing, you see, our culture, it's interesting. It celebrates, doesn't it, all that is free. We live in a free society, and we celebrate that. And but I wonder if over the last 200 years or so, we've kind of redefined freedom to, I don't know, the individual right to autonomy, okay? It's all the individual. We have so many choices, don't we? You can choose global travel, I don't know, your career, your sexual expression. We have so many choices. I am free to be me with no constraints. In a world where you can be anything, be yourself. It puts self at the very centre of the story, doesn't it? You know, but that supposed freedom with self at the centre, it doesn't necessarily leave us free. And we just have to look around society and see that there are many problems and issues around us. Now, as a church, we're venturing through the whole Bible in 7 weeks. We love a challenge here. It's great. And using some material from the Bible Society, we're looking at that. And this week, we're focusing on Exodus, as you heard in the All Age. And, you know, Exodus is great. It reminds us that our God is a freedom fighter. Now, in a moment, we're going to watch a 3 or 4 minute video. And what it does is join the dots, hopefully, from where Simon left off last week with the origins, right the way through to the Exodus story today. So, do you know, sit back and just enjoy kind of 400 years of Old Testament. It's great. Quick whistle stop tour. Let's watch this.
Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Hopefully fills us in a little bit. Last year, hopefully you remember, if you were here in the autumn, we followed in our Sunday morning teaching Moses and looked at that story. And I'm sure some of the things from today will just remind you of those stories. But do you know what I love about the Bible is it doesn't matter how many times we go back to it, there's always something fresh, and God can always just show us something that we can learn from. So we enter into the story, and Moses is leading the enslaved Israelite people out of Egypt. You know, they've been oppressed under the tyrannical rule of Pharaoh, haven't they? But you know, this is a story that affects us all. There's a universal theme to Exodus, because it kind of invites us to reflect on the freedom, or maybe the lack of it, that we live with. Because inside Israel's Exodus story is our own story. It's a little bit like a wonderful set of Russian dolls. Okay. So we've got, don't know if this will work, we've got, the Exodus story, okay, and we've got Israel's story. And then inside that is our own story that we'll keep coming back to as we go and look through this. So first of all, Exodus, what is it? It's a freedom from Egypt, a freedom from the bad stuff. The Israelites' Exodus, it began with an encounter. Do you remember that story of Moses and the burning bush? Moses encountered God. God knows what's been happening. He's seen the injustice, all right? He's seen the treatment. And he's heard their cries, he's heard their calls, and he invites Moses in that moment to a much larger, purposeful life, to lead his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into freedom. And then what follows is the most exciting, action-packed, Hollywood-type scenes. They are incredible. You know, whether it's, it's a load of plagues, 10 plagues, and Pharaoh's authority is confronted. Because Exodus may start with an encounter, but then it goes on to a confrontation. The plagues of frogs, the blood and the river Nile, the gnats, the locusts, the darkness descending down. There were more, weren't there? All of these were God, the freedom fighter, confronting the gods of the Egyptians. For example, one of their gods was Ra, and they worshipped him, believing that he had given them light. So when the plague of darkness descends over the whole of Egypt, when that came down, suddenly their whole belief system is under attack. And God had said, hadn't he, in Exodus 12:12, "I will bring judgment on all your gods of Egypt. I am the Lord." Here suddenly was a rival to Pharaoh's authority, showing the Egyptian gods as the idols that they really were. Listen, if we're going to experience our own Exodus story, then we need to confront the idols in our lives. Timothy Keller explained idols as counterfeit gods. He says, anything so central to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living. So I find that such a challenge, if I'm honest. The people that I love, the aspects of life that I'm passionate about and that fill my time. Interestingly, Andrew Ollerton says that as humans, we have the ability to take what's good, but then to turn it into our ultimate. So things that are good in life, like, you know, our children, our relationships, sex, work, money, exercise, going to the gym. You could keep going, couldn't you, with what's good in your life. But they are good. But when they become our ultimate, our reason, so central in our lives that our life starts to revolve around them, that's when we need to confront them so that we can live in freedom. You see, Exodus is that freedom from Egypt. It's a freedom from a life filled with idols. So how do we do that? Actually, if we just return back to last week's story, that story of origins that Simon was speaking about. Do you remember we said God made humans in his own image? Each of us has a mark of God on us. But whether it's an idol of self or another idol, these were never meant to be in the center of our lives. We need God at the center of our lives. That's who we were made to be. Timothy Keller went on to say, the only way to be free or to be free ourselves from the destructive influence of counterfeit gods is to turn back to the true one living God. Yeah, see, if we go back to these Russian dolls, we've got the Exodus story, the story of the Israelites. And then we've got our story. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? I'm going to hold the mic. Because inside our story, it's actually a greater story. And it's a story of God, of a Messiah who saves us from the mess that we make when we try and replace him in the center. We're going to listen to a video. It's a testimony of a guy called Finney, and he had drugs in the center of his life, okay? It just revolved, his life revolved around that, and that's the center of his story. And dramatically and amazingly, the grip of those drugs started to loosen. Let's watch his story.
I was a drug dealer. I was suffered from mental health issues. I was dealing in cannabis and amphetamines mainly. And what I was making, I was using. Drug dispute with a fellow drug dealer that led to quite a serious offence. I was almost charged with attempted murder. Miraculously, they dropped the charges to aggravated burglary and threats to kill. As I was remanded into HMP Exeter, I was put into my cell, which was nothing new, nothing unusual. It was something that I'd been used to time and time before. But for this time round, there was something different that I noticed in that prison cell, and it was the Bible. As I open this Bible that I feel unusually drawn to, I feel God saying, if you want to know more about my truth, you need to start living and speaking truth. If you can imagine a man wrapped in chains, that was me. When I was in my prison cell all those years ago, I didn't have to be in prison to be a prisoner. I was a prisoner on the outside, wrapped in all those chains of addiction, of mental health disorders. And the only thing that's changed my life outside of the prison system is the Word of God, is the Bible. So every now and then I'd be in my prison cell and I'd read a scripture and ching, one of those padlocks would just fall off and that chain would feel a little bit looser. And then a couple of days later, I'd be reading something else, somewhere else in the Bible. And ching, another padlock would fall off and that chain would feel a little bit looser, until the point where my 4 years were up and I was walking out the doors of HMP High Point. And I was really walking out a free man because those chains were gone. But the only thing that's changed my life from what it was to what it is now is the Word of God.
It's just so amazing, isn't it? What an incredible testimony. You know, the power of God's word, the power of scripture, it's so powerful, breaking those chains. And it might be that you're sitting here this morning and, you know, you can recognize an area of your life that's become an idol. It's become an ultimate, so central in your life that your life revolves around it. And actually, it's got a grip on your life. Do you know, there are some verses, but I was saying from scripture that we can give you, and someone would love to pray with you afterwards and speak truth over you and into you and start to break the chains that grip and free you from your Egypt. God is a freedom fighter, and he wants each of us to live fully free. You see, Exodus is a letting go of the false hopes, but then it's a reaching out to God. Let my people go so that they may worship me. It's a freedom from Egypt and a freedom for the promised land. There's true freedom, isn't there, when we're free to be who I was made to be, who God wanted us to be. We're hardwired. Each one of us is hardwired with a divine purpose, made in the image of God. The Israelites' Exodus. Exodus involves a change of location. To do this, what do they have to do? They had to cross the Red Sea. You know, crossing the Red Sea, it's such an iconic image. I love it. One of the greatest metaphors of salvation, maybe. I go back and remember the film, The Prince of Egypt. I think it's back in the 90s or something now. I'm not quite sure, but I remember this image. And, oh my goodness, it was amazing. The Israelites, they cross through and the waters pile up either side, God in his miraculous way. And then suddenly these whales swim either side, and as they walk through, they see them. This is an incredible, miraculous moment. God parted the waves and they walked across, leaving everything that enslaved them, that trapped them, the life of falsehood and idols, and they walked across into freedom. Inside that Exodus story is our story, and inside our story is the story of a Messiah, central, who came to save us and to rescue us. He came into our world, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, so that we can cross into his kingdom. A new location. Just like the Israelites, we can cross over, leaving the old ways, leaving the lies, the mess, the regrets, the anxiety, the addictions, and we cross to the other side, to a new location. I love in Paul, in his letters, as he starts to the Christians in Colossae, he starts his letter like this. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that. You know, I can put that of myself. I'm Lorraine Hemmings in Welwyn Garden City in Christ. I got a new location. I wonder what you could say this morning. There's a change of location in Christ. But what did they cross over to that promised land? God said, I've promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. They crossed over into a land that was flowing with goodness and blessing. It was a good place. God wanted to bless them. But they did nothing to deserve it. It's the grace of God, an undeserved gift. This is the God that we see throughout the whole of the Bible. He's a God full of grace. The same God who ultimately sent his son Jesus to us. Reminded of that at the beginning of John's gospel. The word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to us full of grace to free us from the sin that takes hold and enable each of us to live freely. It's an act of grace, nothing we can do to deserve it. It's through Jesus that you and I experience freedom. Do you know, I was reminded of this, I think it was last week, when we were at school and we were talking about the New Testament character Zacchaeus. And we were sharing this with the children at school in our worship times. And my goodness, his life was a mess. It really was a mess. You know, he was enslaved in theft and lies. And I think money was his idol. His life was centered around money. And Jesus comes to him and he has his exodus. You know, he's done nothing to deserve it. Jesus doesn't wait until he's fully sorted and got his life together, but he comes to him in the midst of his mess and he visits him. He encounters Jesus. And then there's a confrontation of all that he's living in. And then he crosses over a life free from sin, free from his Egypt, over to the new life. And he changes. It was undeserved. A gift of grace and love. And finally, Exodus. Well, it's the freedom to follow God. You know, I've often thought, if I'm honest, what a bunch of ungrateful people the Israelites were. Okay, they cross over, this amazing thing. They cross over and they're in the desert. And it's really not long, is it, before they're grumbling and they're moaning. Food's not good enough. They haven't got this, haven't got that. In fact, they even say, wish we were back in Egypt. And I can't help thinking, for goodness sake, you crossed the Red Sea. What we would give to see that, you know? But actually, Andrew Ollerton, he's talks of the trauma of enslavement, the effect that it can have on our relationships, on our ability to trust. And actually, the Israelites needed healing from that. The experiences in Egypt had made them vulnerable. Actually, it's not wonder that they were quick to grumble, really, is it? But that's true of us, isn't it? As we cross over to a new life in Jesus, you know, maybe the memories or the experiences of the old can still be quite close. The pull of the addiction or the familiarity of the anxious thought, that's been home for years. It's very familiar. It's the effect of the trauma, and healing can sometimes take time. A bit like Finney, we need to surround ourselves with the truth of Jesus, to encourage each other with the stories of Jesus, you know, his faithfulness, how he's rescued us, to declare that God is bigger and with him we are conquerors. It's a journey of faith. It's easier walked with other Christians together. Do you know, it reminds me as we carry on in the Exodus story and 12 spies are sent out to go and kind of spy out the promised land, to check it's okay. And they look at it and the people are big and it's all really scary. And 10 of them are just kind of, that's all they can see. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they see the same thing and it's still scary, but they know that actually their God was stronger. And they also remembered that God had made an agreement with them after they'd crossed over from Egypt. He said this to them, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." He'd committed to loving them. They're his treasured possession. He loved them, cherished them. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? So dear to God. This was a covenant love that was binding. It's an agreement, a promise, a pledge of love. God had pledged his love for Israel. We kind of have echoes for that in Christian marriage. In marriage, a husband and wife make covenant promises. Within marriage, there's such freedom. And it actually comes out of those very promises, commitments that a husband and wife make to each other. "I give you this ring as a sign of our marriage. With my body, I honor you. All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you." You know, knowing that your husband or wife has declared that, it frees you. frees you to grow together as one. There's safety within the covenant promises, and there's a freedom to grow and a stronger, faithful, honoring love because of it. And it kind of echoes of that covenant love of God to his people Israel, who he cherished. If we then fast forward to the New Testament and Jesus, and he initiates a new covenant based on his love. It's on the night of the Passover festival, and Jesus is celebrating, and he takes the cup of wine and he says, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." You see, we've got an open invitation to God. Our story is based on Jesus' story, the Messiah, the rescuer, who went to the cross for each one of us. Such love. We're free to follow Jesus as Lord. So, God led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of a life of entrapment, and into the promised land, a land with purpose and blessing marked out for them where he wanted them to be. I wonder what might enslave us in our lives. As I've been preparing, particularly this last week, I've been listening to a wonderful song, and it's called Place of Freedom, and it expresses something of this as a prayer to Jesus, and it's kind of become my prayer as I've been preparing, and I'm just going to share the first couple of verses with you. There's a calm that covers me when I kneel down at your feet. It's a place of healing. It's a place where I find freedom. There's a place my eyes can't see, where my spirit longs to be. It's a place of healing. It's a place I live in freedom. Do you know, that's my prayer for each one of us, that Jesus could take hold of you and lead you out of all that binds and into a place of healing and freedom this morning. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Let's live in a place of freedom. Amen.